Hi there, everybody. Steve Arterburn here with New Life Live. Joining me today in the studio is Dr. Dave Stoop and a new friend, Bill Moss, is going to join us here today on New Life Live. If you want to join us, it's 1-800-639-5433, 1-800-229-3000 to be on the program.
Before I ask my question, I first want to say how much I appreciate your ministry.
Thank you.
You know something, I failed as a husband.
I had a question, if I could, please.
Okay.
The rest of it, I just felt like I was kind of getting shined on. So now I get it.
I want to know about your dad, what he was like.
He was an angry person.
That's a big part of your anger.
I think having you be a little bit more involved says, I'm a woman and you're doing this to women. This is going to affect your relationship with women. And so for him to feel what that's like in the presence of a woman, I think is important.
Yeah. That was good, Jill.
People with addictive personalities are like boa constrictors.
Well, I just say, did you play with dynamite when you were a child?
No.
Because this is playing with dynamite. Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Glad you've joined us today. And as I frequently have in the studio, Dr. Dave Stoop. Dave, good to see you.
Good to see you, Steve.
Doing all right?
Yeah. Staying busy.
Just back from Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and thank you, Dave, for bringing me spam-flavored macadamia nuts.
That's the latest thing in Hawaii.
Spam-flavored macadamia nuts. Of course, most people know that there is more spam per capita consumed in Hawaii than any other place in the world.
I think it's the state meat.
The state meat.
Yes. Every restaurant, including McDonald's, has spam on the menu.
So let's not say what state would have the state meat of possum. Let's not go there.
We all know
who I'm thinking.
That's right.
Yeah. Anyway, glad you're
we
with us
defend
here.
Might offend our guests.
Yeah, yes. And thanks for this nice this nice gift. And then also joining me today is Bill Moss. Bill, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Steve.
Now, people might wonder, well, who is Bill Moss? Some people know who Bill Moss is. I know that he's written a wonderful book, and we'll make that available to you today, and it's called Finding Inner Peace During Troubled Times, and it's a wonderful little book. In fact, I happen to know that Chuck Colson just sent you a letter saying thank you for the work you've done to help prisoners around the world, and you've really done it through this book, haven't you?
Well, a friend of Chuck's called him some time ago and sent him one of my books. And I subsequently heard from some people with his prison fellowship, and they wanted 1,000 of them to send to prisoners. And after that, they called me back, and they wanted an additional 4,000.
No, that's wow. Great.
So
that's
there's, great. I guess now, about 3,500 to 4,000 of them among prisoners. But the great thing about it was his secretary kept letters that prisoners wrote back after having received the book.
Yes.
And she sent me a notebook of these. There's over 100 letters from prisoners talking about how much they had gotten from reading my little book on inner peace.
Well, I'm really happy to offer this to people today. And Bill is one of the few people that I've ever met who got sober at 85, right?
Right.
He got sober at 85, and he has 10 years of sobriety. Now, it's not very difficult to figure. You have 10 years, right?
6 years.
I'm sorry, six years. You're 91?
91.
91. Wow. Okay, 6 years of sobriety. And so it's exciting to talk with him. And so we'll take phone calls, and we'll talk about Bill's story. And it's ironic because Bill, his story takes him all over the world, really. And then he hits bottom right here in Laguna Beach, California, where we're broadcasting from today. So we'll get to talk about that. And we're glad that he and his wife, Diane, are here. But if you need some help, we've got a number for you. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE or 1-800-639-5433. 1-800-639-5433. If you want to join us on the program today, it's 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. And if you want a copy of Finding Inner Peace During Troubled Times, we've all got them. I don't know of any more troubled times than right now for so many people. Well, you call us and we'll get that to you. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more of Dr. Dave Stoop, New Life Live, and our friend Bill Moss right after this. Please don't go away. Thank you.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and Bill Moss, our special guest today. We rarely have special guests, so we're really privileged
to have
him in the studio. Dr. Dave Stoop, back from vacation. We're happy about that. I want to mention before we go any further that we just finished our New Life Weekend in Philadelphia. And it was one amazing experience.
I heard it was very different, but very powerful.
Yeah, but one of the most fascinating people I met there was a lady who didn't feel like that she had any strength or power or ability, even though two of her kids were now had been in treatment and were sober for a few years. Because of what she did. And one of the things she did is she tracked down the crack dealer that was selling crack to her daughter and just looked him up one side and down the other, face to face. And you think you're not a strong person. So it just shows you how perception can be off. But she also did something else. She prayed that her kids would never, ever be satisfied, never, ever have peace. They would be miserable. All of their lives. Now, Bill, before we go to a phone, I just want to make an assumption. When you started drinking, it was a different reason than when you were drinking still at age 84. Is that an accurate assumption?
Well, it is an accurate assumption. Actually, I kind of started out in a very, very religious home. My mother singing in the choir. Usually a little sharp, but always loud.
You were Southern Baptist, weren't you?
Southern Baptist.
Just like me. Yep.
Southern Baptist. And by the time I got to college, I really felt as though I was a committed Christian kid. But then booze came along in college. And you remember Baylor University.
I do.
We both went to the same school.
That's right, yeah.
It was a good Baptist school, but the parties, I guess, got a little bit more fun. But I drank for a long, long time before it finally got me.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it was an interesting trip in that, what would you like for me to talk about?
I think one thing that's interesting to me is with the... with the passing of Betty Ford so recently, that must have meant something to you, because when you hit bottom, you didn't call the Betty Ford Center, you called Betty Ford.
That's right.
Yeah.
I was very, very fortunate to have known Betty and Jerry, and I know that that she kind of had her eye on me because we were in a lot of social situations together, and I'd knock my wine over or be a little bit loud or something. I'd look over, and she's looking at me, but she was smiling. I think she knew she had a real good prospect
in
me.
That's right. Well, I guess that was sad for you when she died. Did you happen to go to the funeral?
Yes, we did.
You did?
Yeah, we went to the funeral in Palm Desert. We did not go back.
Yeah. Yeah. She was a great lady.
She really, really was. She was, she was all heart and soul, and she was so committed. I remember when I called her and said, "Betty, I need some help." She said, "It's God's will, not your will."
Mm-hmm. That's really neat.
So that started me off right there on the third step.
Well, another link to Laguna Beach is that Dr. Joseph Persh was part of the intervention on Betty Ford. And, you know, she went to the Navy program over there with Dr. Persh, and he lives here in Laguna Beach. And so we've got a lot of connection. But I want to go to a phone call because that's why we're here, and we'll follow up some more on your story. Let's go over here and talk to Donna. She's calling us from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. WORD is the station. Hi, Donna. Welcome to New Life.
Hi, guys. I'm so excited. How are you?
I'm very, very happy to be here with Bill Moss and Dr. Dave Stoop. How could we help you?
How can I get my husband, who is an avoider and a serial affair offender, to open up and to... you know, get on board with fixing this marriage. I listen to the show a lot, so I know all the different things you've suggested. And it's not worked with me because he just will not listen.
Well, have you ever required anything of him? Have you ever required that he do something for you to still be there?
I've required him to go to Every Man's Battle.
Did he go?
No.
But then... there wasn't a second step there. I mean, a lot of women will say, either you go or we need to part ways for a while until you believe that I'm important enough for you to do something about the marriage.
Yeah.
But you never got to that point.
Well, not quite, but we had, I guess, third-party involvement when things got so bad. But I'm not working, three little kids.
Yeah.
Nowhere to go, new here.
Right. Mm.
That was the problem.
Yeah.
And he works, you know, works away, so he wasn't really here much anyway.
Mm-hmm. What have you done, Donna? I mean, what have you tried?
I've tried intervention with other people that I know he holds. You know, he respects and could be accountable to. I've spoken to pastors of my church.
What have you done for yourself?
Well, I have gotten a counselor from New Life.
Okay.
And I've joined Codependence for Spouses of Sex Addicts.
That's good.
I'm in a women's Bible study. I started working part-time. I'm focusing on my kids. That's as far as it goes.
How old are your children?
They are 7, 4, and 2.
Okay. So the 7-year-old is probably aware that something's not exactly right in the relationship.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That there's tension, yes.
Have you ever said to him, if not for me, how about for the kids?
Yes, I have. I get another. I've written a letter to him. I've tried that approach. I didn't get his. I mean, I read How We Love.
Yeah.
And he definitely is the avoider stroke vacillator type.
Yeah.
But mainly the avoider type.
Well.
But this is more than that.
Yeah.
What you're describing.
Much more. I mean, he's actually had how many affairs?
I don't even know.
But many.
Yes.
Well, you know, Dave and I are familiar with a situation where the man had multiple affairs, the woman had children, and had no place to go. And so she enrolled in school, and she became a counselor. And she got her license, and she was able to support herself and her kids, and then she made the move, and because he had been unfaithful, she divorced him. So rather than continue to do nothing and say that you're desperate, you have no place to go, you have these children, and use that as an excuse I think you need to look at what is your long-term plan if he's going to continue to do this. Because essentially you've said to him in your reaction, it actually is okay for you to continue to do this because I'm not going to do anything if you don't stop.
I'm just going to make threats. I'm not going to act.
Yeah. And I'm sure other people have talked to you about that, right?
Yes.
But what we're saying, Donna, is you've got to, if you can't deal with it today, at least prepare yourself so that you can deal with it down the road a ways, like what Steve was describing. You make yourself, you put yourself on a track to become self-sufficient. And
which I was.
Don't hide it from him. Let him know that yeah. you're doing it. And the reason you're doing it is because you can't tolerate this stuff. And, you know,
right.
I mean,
that's all you're able to do at this point, it right. sounds like.
We need to hire someone to be with the kids on Tuesdays and Thursdays because that's when I'm going to be in night school. And he
right.
says, why are you going to be in night school? Well, because I have to leave you. And I can't right now. I don't have any money and all of that. But I'm going to. I'm going to be self-sufficient.
And if he won't give you the money, then you find somebody that's a friend who can babysit your kids, and then you babysit their kids. You
right.
can do a trade-off. There's ways to do it.
And then there's also a, you know, to have a legal separation where the courts award you a certain amount of the money that he has so that you're not desperate. There are a lot of different options that you have other than just to say, go get help or I'm not happy, things like that. I just know it's very, very hard to do when you're in a desperate situation.
Yeah, and one of the things you should do is talk to an attorney
yeah.
about what your rights are, what you can do, what you shouldn't do, and just so that you're playing, and then develop a plan and get some help from the people that you're building into your life. Say, how can I do this? What can I do? And have a plan. It doesn't mean that you solve it today, but you're moving towards a solution, and that's the key.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to send you a new book. I just pulled it out of the box this morning for the first time, so I kind of delivered my baby here, Walking Into Walls. And, you know, these are five different blind spots that will block God's working in your life. And one of those blind spots is when we get into a desperate place, we don't have anything to do, and we just keep walking up against that wall, and we isolate.
Yep.
We become more and more desperate. So I'll send that to you. 1-800-229-3000 to join us on the program. 1-800-229-3000. As I said, Dr. Bill Moss is here, and he's written the book Finding Inner Peace During Troubled Times. What led you to write this book, Bill?
Well, I was talking to my spiritual advisor in Dallas.
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful guy. About a conversation I'd had with some of my AA buddies.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about how we could find inner peace through sobriety.
Right.
And we started talking about all the troubled things that are going on in the world, and I was telling him about what we were doing in AA, there's four or five guys of us that are in a step group. And he said, well, Bill, why don't you write that? Put it down, write it in an essay. And so I did.
Hmm.
But he was familiar with some of my background, some of the stuff that I had talked about writing before. But this came from the heart.
Yeah, well, it really is some wonderful work for meditation. For instance, you write, God's love comes from within. Within God's love are the seeds for inner peace. When God helps us find our soul through love and we share that love with others, he is showing us a path to follow in our search for inner peace.
Yep.
And you really can't have inner peace unless you have God's love there. You can have, I don't know, passivity, I guess.
Well, or you can kind of just be oblivious to it all
yeah.
and pretend.
Well, you know, God's love, and thinking about God's love throughout the day, every day, putting our faith and trust in God sure helps us toward inner peace.
Mm-hmm.
But Steve, there's one thing I thought about this morning coming over here. In finding inner peace, forgiveness is right at the heart of it. And we begin by forgiving ourselves of all the things that we've done in the past. And then forgiving others. And I have a phrase that I've been using, forgive the whole world and everybody in it.
Oh, that's very, very good. All right. Well, if you'd like a copy of Finding Inner Peace During Troubled Times, you call us right here, and we'll make that available to you. It's a wonderful, wonderful book, and you could just take each page, and every morning you could just meditate on one of the things that Bill Moss has written here. It's a book that you can read in about 30 minutes, or you can meditate on it for about 10 years. Either way, it's a good one. We'll take a break. We'll come back. You join us, 1-800-229-3000. Thanks for being with us here today on New Life Live. We'll be back right after this.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
By the way, we've been talking about this matching grant of $100,000, and we, on July 25th, went to $101,797, and so that $100,000 check was written, and so essentially, we ended up with $201,000. Yeah, we're really glad for this wonderful gift that made a huge difference. Let me read something to you from the weekend. It said, I came here buried in excuses of why I didn't have to lose weight. Although I was not completely aware of it, I had an attitude of grumbling and entitlement. But this weekend has been a letting go of excuses for not being healthy. I am not going to allow my various negative attitudes to have free rent in my mind. They are going to have to go. I leave here with inspiration and a plan to have my newfound hopeful goals and attitude live and grow. I know I will need support to prosper continuously. If you've been considering attending, come and be enriched. You don't know how powerful God can use you and the entire experience. Come and be well. Well, Becky Brown, hearing this, reminded me that many years ago, before I became a real human being, I was sitting at lunch with one of the people that came to one of the weekends, and she was making excuse after excuse after excuse of why she couldn't get well, why she couldn't lose weight, and her name was Frances. And I said, you know, you kind of sound like St. Francis of Excusey. And and I thought, you know, only I would say something like that then. I would never, ever be so bold as to say something like that now. But anyway, if you find yourself being St. Francis of Excusey, you call us and let us get you out of that mode. We'll try to help you, and you can find out how at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We're going to go to Desiree right now from Pensacola, Florida. WEGS is the station. Hello, Desiree.
Hi.
How you doing today? What's going on?
I'm good. Hi, I am 32 years old and single, and I'm trying not to get emotional here.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
But my question is, I'm really nervous. Sorry.
It's okay.
My question is, I seem to be preoccupied with the fact that I'm not in a relationship,
mm-hmm.
and I just always thought that my quote-unquote calling in life was to be a wife and mother.
Yeah.
And so now as I continue to get older, I just continue to get more preoccupied with that dream and that hope.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's not happening. And the preoccupation with it is hindering any chance at relationship, and even causing problems in other areas of my life as well.
All right, okay.
And I've been told when I ask for help or anything, I continually am told, "Oh, just put it in God's hands or trust God with your future."
Yeah.
And I believe I'm doing that, and I believe I have been doing that for the past so many years.
Yeah. When is the last time you were in a relationship with a guy?
I've been somewhat casually dating for the past year or so.
Mm-hmm. One person?
No, just kind of getting to know people. Yeah. I read the book How to Get a Date Worth Keeping.
Okay. Is that so that's helping you meet more people?
Oh, yes. Definitely.
Okay, good. Good.
So, all right, I've been meeting people.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Now, I want you to have some peace about this, and I want to give you a practical thought, and then Bill, maybe you can help her come to grips with inner peace here, even though she's in this very troubled time. But, you know, at 32, it's easy for a woman who wants to be a mother and a wife to say, you know, the clock is ticking and it's almost over. But, you know, you've got more life expectancy left, you know, than most people did for most of the years of civilization.
Right.
And you might be in become a wife and not be able to have children, but you can adopt children. Now, I know that isn't sometimes not all that comforting, but you just don't know what God's you don't know what God's plan is.
Exactly.
And sometimes it's easy for us to make assumptions about God based on our circumstances when we need to turn this over to God, ask Him to do what we can't do while you're doing what you can. And it sounds like to me, in the past year or so, you've started to do some things you didn't do before. And to me, that gives you some hope. I was just talking this weekend about that hope without responsibility and work on your part is really just wishing, or it's false hope, but you've done some stuff.
Yeah, that's encouraging. You know, you're not going to like what I say, Desiree, because you do, when you get too anxious about this, that's somehow communicated and scares people. So what I want you to do, here's the principle first. You know, Jesus says if you want to save your life, you got to be willing to lose it. Because those who seek to save it will lose it. See, so he's talking about a paradoxical approach to life. So what I want you to focus on is, okay, God, help me learn to be single for the rest of my life. Help me to learn that that's okay.
Mm, yeah.
And as you pray that and as you make that a part of your focus, gradually the tension will decrease and you will become more open, and then just have fun meeting guys and doing things right. Socially. But just say, God, if you want me to be single the rest of my life, then help me adjust to it. Help me to accept it. And I don't think that's what he wants, but your willingness.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion, maybe you need a marriage tune-up, maybe your marriage is in crisis, listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. We're talking with Desiree. Desiree has become disheartened over being 32 and not really dating or not becoming a wife and a mother. And Bill, you've written about inner peace. What do you say to somebody who's watching the clock tick away and there's no man there yet?
Well, I think that prayer and meditation, mm-hmm. Christian meditation, can do wonders. And in my book, there is a prayer and meditation and I would like to send Desiree a copy of this book on me, just so that she could get a little bit of this prayer and meditation into her life.
Yeah.
What it does, it stops the whirling going on mm-hmm. in a life. It stops the clanging and whatnot.
Yeah.
And gives you a chance to relax and be at one with God.
Right.
And in addition, I have a much, much longer prayer and a guide to prayer and meditation mm-hmm. that I have written,
okay.
and I have a copy with me. Could I just stick a copy of
sure.
that in the book
yep.
to her as a personal thing for me to Desiree?
We'll do that. Okay. So it's a combination of surrender, working on the inside, settling down, accepting the reality of being single, and then doing what you need to do, as yeah. she is doing, dating others. You got a thought?
Well, in terms of meditation, it's interesting. I've been studying a lot about the brain. Sherry got me started
mm-hmm.
on that.
Right.
And meditation does something powerful to the brain in slowing down those kind of rapid thinking. So taking time to meditate on the scripture and to kind of digest it and let it come in, there's biological foundation to. Why wouldn't there be if God made
yep.
us?
And
yeah.
even if you just took the word surrender.
Oh, wow.
And for 5 minutes, you just meditated on the word surrender.
With your hands open like this.
Yeah. Lord, help me surrender this to you. Help me live today mm-hmm. surrendered and not in anguish or in anxiety, and it really can make all the difference in the world. Just 5 minutes on work, or the word acceptance is another profound spiritual word. And then the third one is willingness.
You know what? You said 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. All you really need is 30 seconds.
Really? Uh-huh. Is that right?
If you do it every day, 30 seconds a day, it's powerful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, 5 minutes would be better.
Yeah.
But 30 seconds is doable.
I'm going to send you this book with Bill's book on prayer, but I'll send you Healing is a Choice. There's an affirmation back there that I think is really something that will help you also. I'm glad you called. Anything else we could help you with, Desiree?
No, I think that's it. Thank you.
Well, I'm so glad you called. Thank you, and God bless you there. I know that is it is a big struggle for Christian women who are not married.
Mm-hmm.
It is very, very tough. Okay, let's go to how about Tim from Hartford, Connecticut? He watches us on the NRB network, and we're glad that he does. Hello, Tim.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. How could we help you?
Well, I had a question for you. I'm going through a divorce. My wife served me with papers. I've been separated for a year.
Mm. What happened?
Well, I'm a recovering alcoholic, and about 10 years ago, I started going to AA, but I just couldn't. I just had such a compulsion to drink, I couldn't stop. But a year ago, my wife gave me the left foot of fellowship and threw me out of the house. And since then, I've been going to AA very regularly, almost every night. And I haven't had a drink. And I'm trying to straighten my life out, praying that I could straighten my marriage out. But the people I've talked to since she served the papers, everybody I've talked to in AA said, just let it go. Just let it go. I really haven't communicated with her in the last year, and I'm debating whether or not I should try to call her. In fact, it doesn't seem like she texts me to let me know about the divorce, and she doesn't want to talk to me. And she suffers from depression.
Yeah.
And I'm just,
okay.
You know,
I think
sure
we get the picture. Well, Dave, you had a thought there. When he said,
"How does she know what's happening to you? You haven't talked to her for a year, Tim." That I think that was an oversight on your part. I don't know that you'd had to talk to her, but I would certainly have kept her posted on how you were doing and what your process was. Because if I'm her, I'm thinking nothing's happening.
Yeah,
you're
same
just kind
old
of,
stuff.
You're just accepting this.
Well, I called her after 4 months.
Okay.
I didn't mention. I called her after 4 months and said, I haven't been drinking.
But you know what? It's been a year. So what I would do is, you know, if she doesn't want to talk to you, write her a letter.
Or text her back.
Well, texting.
That's how she prefers.
Texting, it'd be pretty long text. That's all I'm thinking,
yeah,
you know. But you could text and just give her the highlights of what's happened this past year and where you are. And that's what I would
say. Bill, what do you think?
Well, I want to touch on alcoholism just a little bit here. And I wonder if you have hit your alcoholic bottom. Have you bottomed out?
I think I have.
Well, how do you know that you have?
Well, I'm 60 years old. My father was an alcoholic. I never wanted to drink to begin with. I was praying every day that I could stop, and then I just had open heart surgery, and
let me stop you for a second. You said you were praying every day that you could stop. I made that mistake. I prayed that I could quit drinking, but what I should have been praying for was God's will that I could quit drinking, to open my heart to God and listen to His will. I get the feeling, and just hearing you talk, that you have not really completely surrendered. Could that be right?
No, I believe I've surrendered.
Well, that's good.
I've done everything I can. I mean, I go to a meeting just about every night, to an AA meeting. I'm involved in church, and I know the Bible says, husbands, love your wives. I mean, I would like to resolve the situation with my marriage.
Okay. Definitely, I know you're sincere about that. But sometimes the reality is we've gone too far. God still loves you and cares about you. You can't go too far for
too
that.
Too far, the other person.
But you may have gone too far with her to where, let's say it's not hopeless, but it is about as hopeless as it could get. And so you want to be careful how you communicate with her. You want her to believe that you're doing this because you know whether you get her back or not, this is the path for you.
Yeah.
If she senses, well, this is just to get me back, then she feels like it's a manipulation, and it's also a sign that the full surrender hasn't occurred in your life.
Yes.
Bill, what would full surrender look like for him in your mind?
Oh, I think a full surrender is an awakening, a Christian awakening, a spiritual awakening, so that you see a direction to go in your life without alcohol, and you realize that you're allergic to booze. It's a very clear message from God.
Mm-hmm.
And that first step, that you're powerless over alcohol, and the second step is that you need a higher power to help you solve it.
Yeah. He's also powerless over what his wife's going to do, too.
Yeah.
So
the
surrender also involves releasing that to God's will.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So your prayer could be, okay, God, maybe I've been doing this so diligently to get her back. But what I really want to change is I want to start doing this to get me back to you. I want your will. I want us to have a relationship. And I've really got to surrender this thing with my wife. And, you know, Dave's got a great idea. Maybe you write her a letter, tell her how you feel, tell her that you're doing this, you're going to do this no matter what she does, you're going to get well, you know that this is what God wants for you, and communicate with her in that way. And I hope and pray that this isn't just to get her back, that this is to get you back with God. I'm going to send you...
Oh, you got me back.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to send you Bill's book on inner peace, and I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible. Do you have a Life Recovery Bible?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, this is really going to help you.
That's incomplete recovery.
Yeah, without that Life Recovery Bible... It's incomplete. So we'll get that to you. Anybody else interested, you can call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or that's 1-800-639-5433. That's also the place you can call for any kind of help that you need. We'll be back for our final segment right after this.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Max Licato. My friends at New Life want to help you find healing and restoration based on God's truth. They have a workshop to help men who are stuck in the entanglement of pornography. They have another for both men and women to deal with any issue you might be facing, anger, depression, grief, or whatever you're struggling with, they can help you. Or if you know someone fighting an addiction to drugs or alcohol, they offer a Christian treatment program. And if you know someone struggling with an eating disorder, they can help you there too. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans about the transformation that comes through the renewing of your mind. It's God's Holy Spirit that makes this happen, and He's working through this ministry at New Life. Call today and see how you can experience that for yourself. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Our final caller is Mary from Columbia, Missouri, KMFC. But, you know, we're going to be here all day long. You can call us all day long at 1-800-229-3000. So, you know, we'll do another program right after this. So call us.
Another one after that. Three more after that.
So come join us maybe later in the afternoon. Think about it. Give us a call. But Mary, how are you today?
Well, I'm trying to figure that out.
Okay. What's going on?
Well, I've been diagnosed with depression and anxiety.
Okay.
And yeah, I say diagnosed because I'm not sure if that's what's going on with me, but it sounds like it. But I've been seeing a therapist, and then the therapist recommended me to go to a cognitive behavioral therapy workshop.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like a boot camp for that, and
yeah.
I've been going through that for like 5 weeks now.
How's that going?
Well, it's going okay, and it's helping me to see things in a different way, but
mm-hmm.
I still feel the same. I mean, I don't feel like I've gotten any better with it and, you know, and all that, and I've been trying the tools that they've had me to use. But the big question is I'm just struggling with the part about the spiritual part of it, whether this is what I should be doing or what. I'm just confused by whether
okay.
I'm going in the right direction with it. And I've prayed about it, and I thought, well, they're telling me to do this, then I probably should just go and do this. So.
What would the other direction be?
That I don't know. I've been
meds.
I don't know, to tell you the truth.
Medication, that's it.
I took the medication. I hadn't done that. I didn't mm-hmm. want to take medication for it, the antidepressant, but I reluctantly, and I've been taking that for a while. And
what are you taking?
It seems a little better, but to me, I'm just not sure if it's the right thing that I should do.
It sounds like to me you're kind of thinking there's this path of workshop, medication, and all this, and then there's this other path, don't do any of that, and
pray.
just pray about it.
Yeah,
am I
exactly?
Okay. All right. Well, it's to me, it's not an either or; it's a both and.
Okay.
Hey, Mary. There's a passage in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3, 4, and 5. It says, "Our weapons are not the same weapons as those of the world. We fight against arguments mm-hmm. that are against God." And so then Paul says, "So capture every thought and bring it into obedience to Christ." So when you're doing cognitive behavioral work, that's teaching you how to capture your thoughts. Now, they don't tell you to bring it into obedience to Christ, but
no,
that's what Paul said. But you can do that, see?
Huh?
So your thoughts need to line up with what God says in the Scripture. In Proverbs, it says, you know, as a man or woman thinks in their heart, that's the way they are. So there's a biblical foundation to that whole approach. But here, let me tell you something else.
Okay.
There was a study done where they had people into four groups. People who were depressed. People got meds. People got cognitive therapy. People got cognitive therapy and meds. And people were shown how to exercise.
Uh-huh.
No meds or cognitive therapy.
Uh-huh.
At the end of the experiment, they all were effective.
Okay.
Every one of them.
Yeah.
At 6 months later, those who had done the exercise were still holding and maintaining where they were, where the others had kind of dropped
mm-hmm.
back. So I would suggest that what you add to this is that you walk for 20 minutes, 20 to 30 minutes, five times a week, and see if that doesn't make a difference. But don't be afraid of the cognitive stuff. Because you know, they may tell you to, you know, think this way or affirmations. All you do is replace that with Scripture. Get Scripture into your mind. That's a meditation form, is
mm-hmm.
to get Scripture in there as an antidote to your negative, depressing thoughts.
Yeah.
And you'll be amazed at what God can do through that.
So rather than think either or, think comprehensive, total.
Yeah.
And that'll be. I'm going to send you this Finding Inner Peace, the meditation part. Very valuable.
And sender, you are what you think.
You are what you think.
It gives a biblical foundation to a form of cognitive therapy.
I'll send that. All right. Well, Bill Moss, we didn't have time to talk about your work in the oil industry in Odessa and Midland. We didn't talk about your relationship with presidents.
That's why he likes Texas.
Yeah.
He was in Midland. If you can survive Midland, you can survive anything.
We did get to touch on Baylor a little bit. But there, you've just got such a fascinating life. You were in movies for a while. You produced movies. I mean, it's just a wonderful journey. And through it all, God was always there for you, waiting for you to come to Laguna Beach, go to the Montage Hotel, order those two martinis, and then call Betty Ford.
Yeah. Well, I hit my bottom. I really spent a lot of time drinking throughout my life, and of course I tried to quit several times.
Yeah.
But when I really got to the point where booze was tearing my life apart, and my wife Diane never complained about my drinking, and she has been very supportive and very helpful, and I just thank God that I hit that bottom and I'm where I am today.
Well, thank you for joining us today. And if any of you are interested in this Finding Inner Peace During Troubled Times, just call us. We'll make it available to you. Finding Inner Peace During Troubled Times. This is a great little book that'll help you change the way you think, the way you feel, and the way you live today. And we'll make it our gift to you. Just give us your address and your email, and we'll get this to you. Finding Inner Peace During Troubled Times. And thank you for writing this and coming over and sharing this time with us. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it.
Okay. Dave, you want to share some scripture with us before we close out the program today?
I ran across. I was looking at Psalm 107, and it talks about giving thanks to the Lord for his good, his faithful love endures forever. But then he goes on and he has four different kinds of people who are in trouble, like the alcoholic. And it says, but they cried, Lord, help.
Mm.
And they cried in their trouble and he saved them from their shackles. The interesting thing about that is that's the willingness you talk about. Just Lord, help. It's not saying, God, fix this. It's just, Lord, help. Help, I'm open to your will, and that's so key. So Psalm 107 just repeats that four times.
Psalm 107. Hey, you know, we've talked a lot about alcoholism, and we have a Christian Drug and Alcohol Treatment Center. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll help you get the help you need or the help for someone else that you need. That's 1-800-639-5433. We can't do this without your support also. And as you know, summer is always our toughest month. We made it through July, and now we have this thing called August. And so if you could help us, a lot of people go on vacation in August, they forget to support us. You could step in where somebody else maybe has forgotten or they're on vacation or something. If you've never thought about becoming a member of Club New Life, do it in August. It would be such an encouragement to us. We've had over 500 people join Club New Life this year. We're moving toward 1,000.
New people.
Mm-hmm. And when 1,000 people join Club New Life, that provides us with an additional $42,000 of base support a month. We're getting there. We're moving toward breaking even, and we're so grateful to all of you that support us. So please, and also, yes, Dave.
And when you join Club New Life, have them deduct it monthly from your credit card or something, because then you can go away on the holidays and vacations and not worry
about it. That's right.
And we don't worry about it.
Yeah. So please call us right now, 1-800-NEW-LIFE or 1-800-639-5433, 1-800-639-5433, and tell us, I want to become part of the New Life Giving family. And we will be grateful, and I know God will be blessed. I don't know of any ministry that spends less money to minister than this one. We really do count our pennies here. And so if you can help us, it's really important. If God's leading you to, please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. My thanks to Bill Moss, Dr. Dave Stoop, and all of you. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.